I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday. And today, the Monday show is post-Celtics win in Detroit, 91-81, beating the Pistons, exacting their revenge. Here to talk about it, we're the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Sam Jam Packard. Now, Sam is mobile right now in a car, driving from Detroit to Chicago. Can you explain your situation here, Zen?
Yes, I wanted to go to the Celtics game. I needed to get two more flight segments to get status on Delta, which I use for my work, and I very much demanded status. I needed it. And once they told me I could get status, I had to figure out a way to become a Silver Medallion member. And I don't even know what that gets me, but I just decided to go on the road. So my friend met me in Detroit, and now we're driving back because the Seas play again today when you guys are listening to this on Monday. So, yeah, I'm driving 4 hours in between Detroit and Chicago right now. And right now I have no idea, somewhere in Michigan.
Enjoy somewhere in Michigan.
My best.
Let's get this game stuff out of the way because this wasn't the best game in the world. Celtics win by 10. A nice game by Al Horford to lead the team with 18 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Aaron Baines stepped up with 13 rebounds and very nice defense. Kyrie pitched in with 16. 12 each for Smart and Jaylen Brown, 11 for Tatum, including a clutch 3 at the end. So this was not pretty. Each team took turns forgetting how to put the ball in the basket. The Celtics and the Pistons engaged in maybe the worst second quarter in the history of basketball. So from your perspective, high above wherever it was, the Little Caesars Arena, was the second quarter as bad as it looked on TV?
The second quarter was some of the most atrocious basketball I'd ever seen. I kept on just turning to my friend, just like they haven't scored yet. Like the Celtics have scored like 6 points in this quarter. Oh, but they're still winning. It was just no one making shots. Just kind of a lifeless, zero energy in the building. I kept on trying to tell if it was just like the fact that I was still kind of hungover, or the basketball was just terrible. And it turned out to be a combination of both that really made it. It was almost unwatchable. Like there was just nothing exciting that happened in that quarter. And then in the third, you saw the Celtics go on that like the nice little run, which they seem to do every third quarter. But and then the ugly basketball reared its head and came back in the fourth quarter. And overall, it just wasn't that entertaining of a basketball game. It was very cool to be there in the new arena. But what happened to Andre Drummond, I think, was my biggest takeaway from the game. I remember the last time we did the Pistons Celtics post game podcast, I spent the entire time talking about how much impact Andre Drummond had, and the Celtics basically just took him. He only had 5 points, only I think 5 field goal attempts. I don't have the box score, but he was basically a non-factor.
Six points on 1 of 5 shooting, 4 of 6 from the line.
Yeah, so it felt like the Pistons were certainly going to him less. They settled for a lot more outside jump shots, but the Celtics did a much better job controlling him on the roll. I thought Aaron Baines did a very good job on defense. And then after the game, Stevens mentioned that it's not just Baines who did a great job on Drummond. It was everyone helping out from the weak side, just getting a body on him. But he was basically a non-factor, and neither was Tobias Harris, two guys who killed the Celtics in the game in Boston. So I don't know where those guys were, but it made it for it felt like a pretty easy Celtics victory, despite them the Pistons making that little comeback in the end, it really never felt like the game was in doubt.
Yeah, it was funny because the way the game started, I thought it was kind of like a here we go again, because the Pistons started on a 10-4 run, and they were hitting everything. They started out hitting everything. Harris hit a three. He hit five of their first 10 points. Avery hit a three, and it just felt like, here we go. And I remember Mike Gorman in the broadcast saying, you know, something about the Pistons, when they see the Celtics, they just can't miss. And then all of a sudden,
then they started missing a lot.
They missed everything. The Celtics went on a run of their own, and really, I don't want to say never look back, because that run in the fourth quarter was, you know, the Celtics all of a sudden just stopped. That was their turn to stop being able to hit shots. And then Detroit, you know, made it close. That lead evaporated. They cut it down to, what, four? But the Celtics did what they had to do to close it out. But most of that game was in the Celtics' complete control. Baines, I agree. Baines did a great job defensively, being able to slow down guard penetration and then go back and prevent the lob. In the first game, it was like alley-oop city. Andre Drummond just kept... How many alley-oops did he catch in that first game? They didn't even attempt an alley-oop until the fourth quarter. So it was... What you got going on over there?
Sorry, just we're at a gas station and now we're restarting back up.
It was a very well-defensed game by Aaron Baines. And I thought Al Horford played very well. He was very aggressive. And I think coming off of a disappointing game in San Antonio, I think he was really focusing on trying to get his offense going.
Yeah, he had some nice moments. I was actually very impressed by his perimeter defense. I thought the moment, like, he did a good job stepping out on guys like Tolliver and Tobias Harris. The ability of him just to allow Baines to go back and guard the big guys, and then he can stop out on the perimeter, I thought was quite nice. The ability he has to stretch the floor too. There's times where Anthony Tolliver just like left him wide open, and he's a 45% 3-point shooter. He was the best all around Celtic. Surprise, surprise, because that's what he does every single game. But other than that, there weren't any like standout performances. It was a kind of a blah game all the way around.
Yeah, it really, really was. Horford, like I said, Horford played well. Baines defensively played well. I think that 13 rebounds is definitely a season high. I didn't check to see if it was a career high, but it's up there. Solid game all the way around from the other guys, except, you know, they shot 42%. It was not great. So I don't know that we want to talk about the game much anymore. They made a nice adjustment from the first game. And the Celtics are now embarking on this was the first of 5 games in 7 nights, and I believe 12 games in 19 days. So the Celtics are going into their worst part of their schedule. This month, the rest of this month, is the absolute worst of their schedule. So it's going to be a lot of basketball. So they play Monday in Chicago. Then they go back to Boston for 2 games. They have a back-to-back against the Grizzlies. Then they do, at Indy, back to Boston, in New York, back to Boston. And there's a lot of travel going on there. They play every other day, and they mix in a couple of back-to-backs. So it's a tough stretch for the Celtics.
Yeah, and it's a thing where it's too bad that Marcus Morris is hurt right now, and probably won't play against the Bulls, but you'd want to get some rest for these guys occasionally, especially Horford. That seems to be like a prevailing thought on Twitter, is that they need to get him rest. And I don't know, something me and Jay talked about, I think, in the last mailbag, is I don't think he needs rest because he's playing with a bunch of energy, but just when you're having this many games in this time frame, you'd like to have, like, be able to sit some guys out. There's a reason Greg Popovich does it a number of times. This, like, traveling this much, let me tell you, as someone who traveled this morning and currently driving 4 hours, like, even being on a plane travel would not be fun. So it's going to be a difficult stretch for the Celtics, but it's good to get wins against a team like in the Eastern Conference, like the Pistons, who I guess at some point we thought were going to be a solid playoff team, but who knows, because they played like garbage tonight.
Yeah, I think they've lost five in a row now? Or
they really peaked when they beat the Celtics like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. I remember after that game, everybody was like losing their minds talking about Andre Drummond. Remember when they were shopping Andre Drummond and blah, 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 and now no one would do that. Like, everything just – people love to overreact to early stuff in the NBA season. Like, they don't let anything just kind of play out. He had a great beginning to the season, but not – you know, let's you know, pump the brakes a little bit. So, let's see here. The Celtics – yeah, the – Brad Stevens said, everything we've done minutes-wise has been building towards this day, which is the beginning of that 12 games in 19 days. So we'll see how the minutes play out. All right, so enough with the game, enough with that stuff. Let's go to the Rain and Jays hashtag and see what is on your mind. And then we can go to the junk drawer and start putting people on the boat. So let's start here. Ben Gates, I love Avery Bradley as much as the next guy, but tell me, would any Celtics fan actually prefer to have him versus the current starting lineup with Jaylen at the two? Look, I love Avery Bradley too. I think that it's clear that this team works well together because of the overall construction, because of Jaylen being good at both ends of the floor, being tall and being able to kind of do certain things that Avery Bradley couldn't. Now, Avery Bradley's obviously an all-NBA defender. He's one of the best out there, and he drives Kyrie Irving crazy. And in a matchup, I would hate to match up against the Pistons in the playoffs because he would drive Kyrie Irving crazy. However, it's I guess I'm happy with the way things are working out, and I wouldn't swap out Avery Bradley for Jaylen Brown at all.
I don't think you would make a change, but I think the Celtics would definitely could benefit from Avery Bradley's scoring. Like, they need an outside shooter and someone else on the floor. Like, Jaylen Brown has taken a step back from just his points production. He's no longer attacking the basket as well as he did earlier in the season. So, I mean, in terms of long-term, obviously you're going to go with Jaylen Brown, and you love what he does defensively, just his versatility, but the Celtics could use another person who can shoot from the outside, and Avery Bradley does exactly that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as cut dry or black and white.
No, but they could use him off the bench. You know, he'd be an amazing player to have off the bench, but this is our starting lineup, and why would I change anything at this point? So I'm just going to leave that there. At Dominikos DB, no matter how close a game gets, remember the rule, when the other team is under 100, we never lose. That's true. Celtics held the Pistons to 81 points, so we win. And look, I'd like to say that was all Celtics defense. I think some of it was just bad, bad Detroit offense, but it was, hey, if you can't score 100 points against the Celtics, you're not going to beat the Celtics. Lucas Gaynor, LG Hoops 11. Why aren't the Celtics posting up Tatum if Ish Smith is guarding him? Why aren't the Celtics posting up Tatum? You know, they've tried that a bunch, and they will go to it from time to time. But, like, remember the Philly game where they were posting him up against J.J. Redick? A lot of times the post-up is not really a great play, and it's generally not a very efficient way to run your offense because you dump it into this guy, and he's you've already got a defender right on top of him, right? And everyone else tends to stand and watch when guys are posting up. So a lot of times you try to limit the post-ups nowadays. That's kind of the new NBA offense. But if you got a, you know, mouse in the house, why not go to it sometimes? I don't know. They just didn't do it.
And Tatum doesn't like strike me as being the most comfortable in the post. He's very good at like spot up game and kind of playing in the mid range, but I'm not sure if he's the best at his back to the basket. So, you know what? I feel like the way they're using Tatum now as the best shooter ever, I think they should keep doing that.
Yeah, it's funny, man. He went out, and what do you have today? 3 of 5 from three again. And this dude just buries shots. Like I'm surprised. I'm just surprised by how good he's shooting. And that has to level off at some point, right? I mean, it has to.
I get surprised when he misses at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I have full expectations going in, especially that one at the end of the tonight's game, where it's just like, well, he was so open. It's like, of course that's going in. He's the most efficient shooter in basketball.
Yeah, they just, and it's funny, the Celtics offense, when it's going great, people, they forget about Tatum. They leave him. He gets left in the corner. Marcus Smart drives, and people help on Marcus Smart. I called him the human reflex hammer. He just gets into the lane and he strikes this spot where all of a sudden teams instinctively feel like they have to defend him, and he kicks it out to Tatum. They leave Tatum alone. And then on the rotation at the end of the game, Tatum, they were moving it, and Tatum ends up with the opening shot. Yeah, of course it was going in. I feel like he can't keep this up. Can he? I mean, it doesn't seem like sustainable. It doesn't seem like I should expect him to keep shooting. I'm going to look up his numbers here, but to be the league's best 3-point shooter, he's shooting 52.3% from three. Like, how is that possible?
I think he's super talented, but I think the main reason is he's getting a lot of open looks. And when Kyrie and Horford are like on the main part of the action and he can just basically hang out on the weak side, like there's a reason he's shooting that well. One, he's like just got natural ability to do so, but because he's not the main focus of the offense and because he benefits from all the attention Kyrie and Horford get, I think it's fair to expect him to keep doing this. Like at some point, small sample size turns into like, no, 30 games feels like enough to show that he's a very talented shooter. And if given the open looks he has, he's going to make them.
Yeah, I guess he's shooting 50%, over 50% from the field, over 50% from three, and almost 84% from the line. God damn, that's great. That's great. Let's see. This is at Rifesy. Better than Ojale's Eurostep, Kyrie and Yabu Eurostep dance. That was so much fun seeing Kyrie and Yabusele on the sideline doing their little Eurostep dance. That is something that was just, that was fun. That was good.
I would, at this point, just, I don't think I need to see Yabu play basketball anymore. I would just see him dance.
Yeah.
Like, if he could replace Lucky in my book. I think he would look amazing in the leprechaun's outfit and the small hat. I think whatever he does on the basketball court is gravy at this point. I could just see him dabbing and celebrating. The cool part about that is just, like, the entire Celtics bench just like exploded after that semi-Euro step. And it's just fun. We were basically where the media was sitting. At some point, I moved back to the media section, and the whole bench exploded. It's just cool to see that. It's a different like perspective I've had on the Celtics bench.
Yep.
But Yabu dancing, need more of it in my life.
Yep, Yabu dancing is a great, great thing. At Robert Denton, can Jaylen Brown wear those goggles all the time? I love those glasses. I like that he got the black ones. They seem kind of cool, kind of trendy. It looks right. It looks right on him. He just was born to wear those goggles.
It very much fits his personality, and I think he should, even when his eye injury is done, he should just like put out, like, you know how some cool hipsters will do that with the glasses and just don't have any like real lenses in it?
Yeah.
I think he should just do that. He's a goggles guy now. And then think of all the times we can go, the goggles, they do nothing.
Absolutely. I've already used that joke once on Red's Army. It's perfect. At JL Smooth 2021, this game is going to spark the they play better without Morris debate. isn't it?
No, it didn't. We didn't talk about that once.
It's interesting. I do hope his knee is not going to be a constant problem all season long. Like, for them to be sitting him out, I don't know. Sitting out tonight, sitting out tomorrow, they need guys to play minutes. You know, like we talked about earlier, there's a lot of minutes that are going to be played over the next few weeks. They're playing a lot, and to his credit, Brad Stevens is managing to keep these guys' minutes down. Kyrie played 33 and a half. Al played about the same. That was the most minutes. So nobody played like high 30s, like 37, 38. Like, this is a nice little minutes management thing that's going. And I will say, like, at the end of the games, like, people have been kind of questioning some of Brad's lineups at the end of games, and watching that lead go away, I do think that he's playing guys that he wouldn't normally play under different circumstances, just because he needs to keep minutes down. You know, like, Shemi came in and played well for 13 minutes. He did a good job. Larkin did a good job for 12 minutes, but they weren't just playing because Brad Stevens thought, hey, we need Shane Larkin or we need Shemi Ojeleye. I think he played these guys because it's more, we need to keep these guys' minutes down. We can't push them too hard too soon, or else they're going to break down later. So bottom line is, we need Morris. We need Morris one way or the other.
Yeah, and I think there's we saw this game, especially when the second unit was there and Kyrie or Al were on the bench. They really struggled to score, and they did not knock down shots. And if there's anything Luke Morris does, it's he gets his and he knocks down shots. So I think they could have used him tonight, just another guy to, because they really had some lulls in the offense. It was when the second unit, it's kind of been the theme of this entire year, is the second unit struggling to score. So I don't think the Celtics played. I don't think you can use tonight as an example of the Celtics playing well. They just happened to win, but I don't think it was not right. Having Morris was good.
Right. Let's see a couple more here. To Anis Barber at Berberanis 99. I've seen it all today. Smart guarding Marjanovic, Boban. Boban is a giant human being. He's that Simpsons joke where the guy's got the big hand and he's reading off the complaints that he's written down on his giant hand. That's actually Boban. That's actually Boban's hand.
The people of Detroit love Boban. Like, as soon as he stepped came into the game, like, people were excited. A bunch of fans were just, like, yelling, give it to Boban, give it to Boban. Everyone loves Boban. My theory is that the Pistons should start Boban just to get the fans into the game. Just give him, like, the first 2 minutes. People will be jacked up. Because otherwise, everyone in the Little Caesars Arena was kind of just had low energy the entire time. And then Boban came in, and it was like the Beatles in 1964 Shea Stadium.
Let's use this as the transition to the junk drawer, because you got to experience the Little Caesars Arena, and I want to know about it.
Yeah, it was a weird place. It's like very nice and new. Every opening to go to the stadium is called a portal, and they have like numbered portals. That kind of felt weird. Very huge video board. I don't know, but that, like, initially it just the kind of, it wore off very quickly, and then you realize you were just, like, in this generic NBA arena. But it was cool. They do the same in-game presentation that every other team does. They have the same generic video that, like, hypes up their shows, like, the skyline and other things like that. The thing that was really, like, really, really distracting was the PA announcer. Now, the Detroit basketball guy, like, he's legendary. And I thought I was going to be hearing Detroit basketball. Like, I thought it was going to happen the entire game. He didn't do it once. It was very frustrating. I don't know if they got a new guy. I don't know what the situation is. But he was just basically talking the entire game. And he got very excited for side out of bounds plays. Anytime there was a side out of bounds, he would go, side out. It made no goddamn sense. And he was, like, messing up Shemi's name the entire time, like, announcing every single sub. fouls. I don't know. I was very distracted by him. I don't know if I was the only one. That was my biggest takeaway from the Little Caesars pizza. Apparently, Brad Stevens loves Little Caesars. I don't know if you saw that.
Really?
He said that in the interview with Grandy before the game. He's a big Little Caesars guy. And I had some Little Caesars tonight, and it's garbage. And so I don't know what Brad was thinking. Maybe it's just his Midwestern roots, but Little Caesars is a garbage pizza.
I've never had Little Caesars pizza. I'm not a big chain guy when it comes to pizza. I've had Domino's because everybody's had Domino's. I'm pretty sure I went to a Pizza Hut once, like maybe a long, long time ago. And that's it. I've never done a Papa John's. I've never done a Little Caesars. I've never done any of that stuff.
Nor should you. Domino's, it's all bad pizza, and I would be ashamed if my arena was named after Little Caesars, but that's besides the point. Otherwise, the experience was pretty good. I mean, they, except in the balcony, very weird, they put the seats so narrowly together that you just cannot get by. Like, you know the awkward thing where you have to, like, walk by someone's seat to get to your seat?
Yeah.
You just can't do it in the balcony of Little Caesars. It's just impossible. I just had my feet stepped on. I stepped on other people's feet, knocking drinks over. Terrible design.
Huh. Okay.
I'm trying to think of because I was not in the media section, I had to take notes on my phone, so I'm trying to look back now. I hate Ish Smith, but goddammit, do I respect him.
He was annoying. He was annoying. Because he was good. Because he did good things.
He always does good things. He always kills the Celtics. He's always like the little guy who they like does a little bit too much dribbling and then like pulls up for like a mid-range fadeaway jumper that you know he's going to hit. And so he's the classic hate but respect type of player. We got a lot of mad Brad tonight. I feel like he was frequently yelling at the team. He looked pissed off. I don't know, but I'm for it. The more emotional Brad gets, the better I think it is for all of us.
He had an angry face on. Every time they cut to a close-up of him, he just looked pissed off. He definitely was not happy tonight.
No, because they play. I mean, he had to watch that game like the rest of us, so it's fair. The one cool thing Detroit did is that an entire section dabbed after a made free throw, and they put that on the Jumbotron, and that was badass.
You love dabbing.
I have an addiction. I love dabbing. I was at a Christmas party last night. I just couldn't stop dabbing. It's a problem. I'm like trying to meet people, and there's like, oh, there's the dabbing kid. It's not good.
You have a serious problem.
You know what? It's quite all right. I mean, that's all I like have for the junk drawer today. Because other than that, it's just kind of a generic NBA basketball game. Like I don't know how else to provide it. It's just once you get past the pomp and circumstance, it's just NBA basketball, people dancing on the Jumbotron, cheerleaders throwing T-shirts at people. You know, classic stuff.
Okay.
So we get to the boat. I think it's the perfect time to transition to Aaron Bain's big Australian boat.
Let's do it. Let's get to the boat. You want to do the honors?
Sure, why not? Let's say Kyrie Irving and Al Horford. Because they have a permanent spot on the boat.
Yes. I can't imagine, even after Horford had that bad game against San Antonio, he was so good tonight and so good in the other games that were played this week. He had 20 points against Milwaukee. He had 17, 8, and 8 against Dallas. So, and he had tonight the 18, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Just awesome. And then Kyrie's Kyrie. I mean, what the hell? He's always going to be on that boat. And he was going to be on the boat for the Eurostep dance anyway. So.
I mean, I think that's absolutely right, and we got to put Yabu on the boat as well.
Yeah, look, when you have that
well,
when you have that iconic a moment, you get yourself on the boat. That's just all it is. And then, look, he also hit a three. Which game was it? Was it the Dallas game? He came in and hit a three.
And then
arrow, did the
dab.
Yeah, the shoot the arrow dab, which inspired a J. King shoot the arrow dab reenactment video. And so that those two moments alone get him on the boat for sure.
If you get J. King to dance then you're an automatic vote member. And if you dab in game, you're an automatic vote member.
Yeah, I think those are pretty hard, fast rules. I'm going to put Aaron Baines on his boat just for the at very least tonight's game. I think he was a very huge reason why Andre Drummond did not do well, and that the Pistons were not able to alley-oop their way to crushing the Celtics again. I think his defense stood out, especially tonight. So even though he didn't have maybe some of the best, he didn't have like the best week necessarily, but he tonight alone gets him on the boat. And he had that crazy celebration that I tweeted out where after Marcus Smart hit the clutch hook shot late, he did this kind of like squatting kind of gyration thing, which was funny. So that he gets onto the celebration section of the boat too.
Yeah, I'm sensing a theme here that if the Celtics does any good celebration, they're going to immediately get on the boat. And I think that's fair.
That you need, look, it's a boat, it's a party. There's going to be dancing. You got to show that you can be part of it. So, absolutely.
I'm going to say a new rule is that as long as Jason Tatum is shooting over 50% from three, he automatically gets on the boat.
That's fair too. That's fair too. I was going to just, I'm definitely going to put him on the boat. So the three guys I had written down are all on Kyrie, Tatum, and Baines. Horford's like a permanent fixture. And yeah, are we putting, you know what? I think I want to put Jaylen Brown's goggles on the boat.
That's fair, because I don't think his play has deserved the vote, but just that look deserves the vote.
Right. He's still working his way back and trying to get his mind into a good place. But the goggles are definitely on the boat. The goggles get a seat. It's like the inanimate carbon rod getting the parade after Homer goes to space. The glasses get on the boat.
I think that's fair. And then finally, what I want to wrap up the boat with is Mad Brad.
Mad Brad.
Just get on the boat, just yell at people. Just be furious. That sounds like a great time.
Sure. So as everybody's dancing and dabbing and doing their craziness, Brad walks around
yelling
and just
at people for not like following harbor rules.
Yeah.
Get out of the channel.
The sign says no wake. Slow down.
That's not how you pull a rope. Oh my God, that'd be great.
You call that a slip knot? All right. Okay. So that was fun. The podcast was more fun than the game, but we'll do it again tomorrow because the Celtics are gonna be playing every freaking day. So let's.
And I will not be from a moving vehicle. And so hopefully the audio quality will be improved. And if I swear to God, if anyone tweets at me about the shitty audio quality, I'm going to murder them. Like, just like, I know. I'm in a car right now. I'm doing my best.
Yeah.
Don't tweet at me.
Like, okay. This is what we do. Like, we adjust. You had to be in the car. And we. Look, you're podcasting while driving. That's dedication, that's commitment to the cause. So that's it. I'm okay with it. I probably
won't murder anyone who tweets at me, and now I'm probably just invited. If I know the internet, like I think I know the internet,
yeah, you're
now
gonna,
so
you're
many sure. people are gonna get tweet at me about the shitty audio quality. So thanks guys.
There are gonna be people who don't even care that you're in the car, but they'll tweet at you because that's what they do. That's how the internet reacts. The internet is very much the 2-year-old child. We've said this on the show before. If you don't want something, don't say don't do it. It's like the Austin Ainge thing with Tito. Don't tell us not to call him Tito. That's the thing that's going to get more people to call him Tito than anything. So, RIP your mentions.
Yeah, it's always fun, though.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you are a first-time listener, we appreciate you joining the show and hope that you have enjoyed it enough to subscribe and leave us a good rating and a review. And if you are a regular listener and you haven't done so, please do so wherever you get your podcasts, on iTunes or something. Let people know that we're good. We're fun. It's a fun show and they should be listening to it. So we're back post game tomorrow after the Celtics and the Bulls. Tough stretch for the Celtics, but we'll be here to cover it all here on the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.